All right, learning to pray from Daniel. He'd be a good guy to go to and say, Daniel, I'm trying to get some lessons here on praying. And the passage, I could have chosen several, I think, but I chose Daniel 9, 3 and 4. And I set my face, Daniel says, unto the Lord God, to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Remember, fasting is not eating food, just drinking water. And sackcloth is like a burlap bag that has become your new long underwear. You know? You're wearing that right next to your skin. And then ashes is just ashes that you've tossed on your head and come down so that your body is all itchy and scratchy and nasty. You're not comfortable in your own skin. And in that sense of being uncomfortable, you reflect to yourself, you teach yourself that you need the Lord and you're asking him for help. And so he says, and I prayed unto the Lord my God. The first Lord is Adonai Elohim, Lord God. This is Jehovah my God. Made my confession and said, O Lord, O Master, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. Well, the book of Daniel presents an amazing demonstration of man working with God by prayer. Daniel's experiences graphically picture for us the importance of prayer. And I believe it's certainly then a challenge to believers today. It was so long ago, in a foreign land, he was in a foreign land from what where he grew up. As a teenager, he was taken down into Babylon. But so things were tough for him. He wasn't at home. He couldn't go play with his friends. He couldn't do any of these things. But the secret of Daniel's success, and he became successful in everything he tried. The secret of it was, I believe, his life of prayer. He had mastered the secret of working with God by prayer. So let's examine his praying. First of all, the character of his praying. Let's follow him around. Let's see how he does this. First of all, prayer practices. Daniel learned the value of a regular time and place for prayer. You catch that? It was not just at the time that he stubbed the toe that he went to prayer. It wasn't just when he got hungry that he went to prayer. He prayed every day. He was systematic. He was methodical in his prayer life. This didn't mean that his prayers were rituals. But the time of prayer was a ritual with him. Daniel 6:10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, the writing that said you can't pray to anybody but the king, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He didn't just decide to do it now that he was not supposed to. This is what he always did. So the prayer practices, let's examine this. Number one, Daniel prayed in the same place every time. This is not commanded us. Perhaps implied when Jesus said, go to your closet and pray, depending on how many closets you have. And of course, the closet here doesn't mean a closet. I would be pretty hard pressed. I guess I have my walk-in closet upstairs. I could pray there. But, you know, our downstairs closet and so on, it would just be hard to do that. But the point is, a place off by yourself. And the implication, I think, could be that it's the same place every time. There was one place in his house where one of his windows opened toward Jerusalem. This is where he knelt and prayed. I sometimes imagine him kneeling with head bowed, hands folded, and his hands resting on the windowsill. Why did he do that? Superstitious belief? No. When King Solomon dedicated the temple, back when he was had finished building it, he asked God for a favor. It's a long passage, but let's read it together. 1 Kings 8, we'll be going 46 through 50. He says to God, if they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not. In other words, if they sin, and they will, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives into the land of the enemy, far or near. Daniel could understand this. This had happened. Yet if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captives, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captives, saying, we have sinned, and we have done perversely. We have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all their heart. Return unto thee is another word for repent, for conversion, of turning back. And with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen. So that focuses on the promised land, on Jerusalem, and the house which I have built for thy name. That's the temple. Daniel couldn't see the temple from where he was. Too far away. But he knew the direction, you see. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. He says in verse 50, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. The trap of being dealt with badly is that you become captive of them emotionally. You hate, you despise, you can't speak civilly. And so he actually prays that the captives will have compassion on the captors. And this because they were looking toward Jerusalem, toward the temple. So he prayed in the same place. Then we find that Daniel prayed three times a day. We read that earlier. He put into practice the very goal of King David. Psalm 55, 17, David says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Why does it start with evening? Somebody tell me.
Beginning of the day.
That was the beginning of the day. It's the evening and the morning of the first day, right? So at sunset is when the day ended and the new day began. At sunset, not sunrise. So he says, I will begin the day in the evening with prayer. Then after my rest time, I will wake up. And in the dawn, I will pray. And then halfway between those two, I will pray. Daniel did this three times a day with his busy schedule, because he was a high-ranking official that had to get a lot of stuff done. He must have been tempted to cut back on prayer. Can you imagine that? being such an official, but he resolutely refused to let other duties rob him of his time with God. Because when you steal the time from God, everything else doesn't work as well. Martin Luther, facing life, imprisonment, death, all kinds of things during the Reformation, said that he could only get all the work done that he needed to get done, or he couldn't get it all done unless he spent 4 hours in prayer every morning. I'd often wondered about that. Then I was reading what he did during his prayer time, and he had the scriptures opened, and so he read and meditated and prayed on the Ten Commandments every morning. He would read the commandment, go to God in prayer, reflecting on how he had broken that commandment, asking for forgiveness, asking for strength, went through the Ten Commandments. Then he went through the Sermon on the Mount. Did that every morning. The law of the Old Testament, the law of the New Testament. And so he would, some of the monks back then would whip themselves with whips or beat themselves with sticks. He did it with the scripture every morning and came out smarting from the beating, but resolutely determined to do better today. So let's learn from that. The third thing that we can find about the character of his prayer is that he prayed with others from time to time. The book of Daniel, we find the first example of group prayer, Daniel 2, 17 and 18. Then Daniel went to his house, made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. That's their beautiful Hebrew names, not Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Those are Babylonish names. His companions, his friends. He went to his friends. He said, let's pray. Our lives depend on it. That they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret nightmare that Nebuchadnezzar had. That Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men in Babylon. They were praying as if their lives depended on it, and it did. Let's go back then and look at the prayer elements. What did he include when he prayed? The first thing I noticed is reverence. He did not pray flippantly. He gathered his thoughts together. He gathered his heart together and took that before God. Look at Daniel 6:10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, his windows being opened in the chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed. I don't pray very often on my knees. Last time I tried that, it was on in a place where there was a thin carpet. And if I had been the one praying out loud, I would have got about 2 sentences out before I started screaming. It was just too painful. So I had to lever myself back up and sit down like I should have been from the beginning. So if I can be well cushioned, I can kneel for a while. But for the most part, I don't kneel anyway, but I have to kneel within myself. I have to bow my head. I have to humble myself. That's what worship is. It's a submission attitude. Reverence. And then secondly, earnest persistence. He just kept at it. Look at Daniel 6:11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. I don't know where they were outside looking up at him, making his prayer, whether they came through his house and saw him there. But he continued while his enemies watched him praying, while they were organizing their group, while they were entering his home perhaps. Daniel 10, 2 and 3. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. This is after all that, but mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Why? He was just lazy, didn't like washing? No, see, his heart was gripped with the importance of this. Earnest persistence. And then 3, thanksgiving. Sometimes we just feel so urgent about the prayer, we jump right in there and start pleading and begging, and we forget about thanksgiving. Daniel 6:10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, the windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Thanks? When the law was passed that he couldn't pray and he was going to be cast in the den of hungry lions? Oh yeah. He gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Now, we're told to do that now. God teaches us this today. Philippians 4:6, be careful, be anxious, worried for nothing. Don't deal with your problems by worrying. This is borrowing the tough time to come. Why do you want to do that? Yes, I just enjoy hard times so much that it might be coming, and so I'm going to take it upon me right now. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. I've mentioned this before, but I like to start my prayer time with thanksgiving. It just puts me in a proper frame of mind. It makes me remember how often God answered my prayers. I'm fully ready to trust Him with my new prayer request, because I remember all these things that He's done before. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 and 18. Pray without ceasing. This doesn't mean you can't do anything else. It means don't give up on prayer. In everything, give thanks. This is your starting point. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I hear Christians talking about, I want to find the will of God. Right here. Give thanks to God in your prayer. I find also that he prayed with a spirit of confession. He didn't walk swagger into the presence of God saying, "Hi, it's me, your favorite." Daniel 9:20, "Whiles I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, for the holy mountain of my God," presenting my supplication. Here was an official in the government who knew what that meant, to place before the king a plea, a bargain, a petition. And he knew how to present it so that it was couched in the best possible words to perhaps be most likely received. And he put that to use. It sounds to me like he did that with God. I was interested to read that Alexander White, January 13th, 1836 to January 6th, 1921, a Scottish preacher, once told a small crowd that he had found out the most sinful man in Edinburgh and had come to tell them who it was. He leaned forward and whispered, "His name is Alexander White." He says, "It's me." Spirit of confession. If you don't realize your need of confession, you're in bad shape. You're living some daydream illusion. But he also prayed with expectancy. I was rather amazed that when he was meeting with King Nebuchadnezzar and told that he had a dream, that he wouldn't tell him what it was, but he wanted him to tell him what the dream was and tell him what it meant. He told King Nebuchadnezzar that he would make known the dream and its interpretation to him, and he said that before he ever received it from the Lord. I'm going to talk to the man who knows, who probably sent you that dream, and he'll tell me and I'll tell you. I'm guessing the fact that God gave you the dream and you feel it so important, God wants you to know it. And so I'll talk to the one who can tell us. But you realize, and again, dealing with his life, he didn't say, I'll give it my best shot. He said, I'll do this. Let us pray in faith, believing. Not taking God for granted, but recognizing God has a purpose in these things. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God for salvation, cometh to God in prayer, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then let me share with you a third thing concerning the character of his prayer, and that was the prayer basis. We hear a lot based on the charismatics among us and the popularity of the charismatics that you choose a goal and you just believe it and you cause God to make it happen. This isn't it at all. That's a flea talking to the elephant. You know, that's ridiculous. Remember that it was Solomon that asked that any who prayed toward the temple might have their prayers answered by the Lord. Why did Daniel then pray facing Jerusalem? Because he was biblical. You see that? He did his prayer life based on what the Bible said. He read this in the Bible. And so he did what it said. Again, we see this when he's praying in Daniel 9, 1 and 2. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. He was reading the prophet Jeremiah, found that God said 70 years. That he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And he said, that's just about up. He went to prayer about this thing because it's what the Bible said. It's what he read of God in the Bible. We're told that. 1 John 5:14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will. Well, how are we supposed to know what he wants? He gave us a whole Bible full of what he wants. See? He heareth us. And we know, and if we know that he heareth us, because we're asking what he wants, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. When you can present to God his word, count on it being fulfilled. All right, the characteristics. Now, please understand that this type of prayer costs you something. Let's look secondly then at the cost of his praying. Personal purity. You can't just live however you want. You can't give in to the lust of the flesh and think that you're going to work with God in prayer. As a young man in Babylon, he determined not to defile himself. Remember that? And that was just in the food that he was eating. He said, I eat kosher. He didn't actually say that, but that was the idea. And then he wasn't a person who skipped out on his official duties to go pray. Everything had its place. Everything had its importance. So official faithfulness. In his work as an official of more than one government, as time went by, Daniel was found exemplary. When they were trying to find some reason to oust him, Daniel 6:4, then the presidents and the princes sought to find an occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault. Now, he's going to say this again, and the emphasis is they couldn't find it because there wasn't anything to find. You see, we could imagine if they were more careful, they would have found it. No, that's not it. But they could find none occasion nor fault for as much as he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. That's why they couldn't find it. Nobody could find it. He was tremendously faithful in the job God had given him. Serving unsaved people. Dealing with an unsaved land. But then the cost was allegiance to God. When everybody around him did not have allegiance to the true God. The very reason he was sentenced to the lion's den, you remember, was that he would not compromise with his allegiance to God. I do this 3 times a day, whether anybody likes it or not. And then let me close with the consequences of his praying. You say his praying got him into some trouble. Yes, but it also presented him with personal deliverance. He delivered himself and his friends along with the rest of the unbelieving wise men when he received the dream and its interpretation from God. And then God delivered him from his punishment by the lions for faithfully praying. It was his faithful prayer that got him sent to the lion's den. And so he spent a night with the lions, hungry lions. The only problem he had sleeping was that their stomachs kept growling. Hey, I'm resting here. Could you kind of sit down? I have to turn over here. They couldn't eat him. They couldn't open their mouths. Personal deliverance. A second thing is divine revelations. Daniel was given revelations that still thrill us, that still challenge our understanding today. You want to study prophecy, you go to Daniel and understand it as best you can. Go to Revelation and mix the two together and find the answers to these things. Part of the revelations given to Daniel is the only way you can understand part of the revelation, book of the Revelation. Daniel 9:22. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Skill here, that's the concept of wisdom. See? Skill in the word of God, skill in understanding these things. But not only that, the consequences of this praying was angelic activity. How amazing. Daniel's prayers set the angelic world into motion. Daniel 9, 22-23. And he, the angel that appeared, informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, all those weeks before, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. This won't be easy, he says. You're going to have to consider it. You're going to have to spend some time thinking about it. So with this, we see the character of his prayer, how he prayed, how he approached the thing of prayer, the qualities of that prayer, and the consequences. Let us learn from Daniel and give ourselves to consistent, faithful prayer.